Thank you. Hi, I'm Emily. I'm assuming you'd want to go to space as you're here. This is not going to worry about the bureaucracy, the paperwork, the training you might have to go through. This is how you physically get from here to up there. You know, not ignoring the decades of planning and all of the rest of the things that you would have to do if you wanted to do this. Just, you know, physically. You know, just use a rocket. I know they're big, loud, monumentally complex fireworks, but they do work. We launched 320... Hang on, my slides are over there. Sorry, I've been looking behind me. Okay, shall I start again? So, you want to go to space? How are we going to get there? Let's not worry about paperwork. Let's not worry about regulations and, you know, long training periods of becoming an actual astronaut. What are we going to use to get there? How are we going to get from here all the way up there? So, just use a rocket if you actually want to go to space today. They're big, they're loud, they're monumentally complicated fireworks, but they do work. We humans launched 324 of them last year, and yeah, theoretically they're quite simple. You throw an explosion out of one end and it pushes you the other way. The engineering involved is a little more complicated. That Saturn V is just starting to burn through 2,000 tons of fuel and oxidizer in 2.5 minutes. It needs to move 2,000 tons of liquid to do that, which is difficult on its own. You know, 2,000 tons of liquid is a lot. Doing it with fancy kerosene and cryogenic liquid oxygen is very difficult. Moving it into an explosion fast enough that the explosion keeps exploding is the reason Rocket Scientist is something of a meme. Also, to make things more efficient, you're going to want to drop bits of your rocket as you go, doing something called staging, where, you know, empty fuel tanks are not worth carrying all the way to orbit, so once you've emptied them, drop them, and then start a new explosion in the next bit up. If you want a reading to take away, go and look up the rocket equation. It'll explain kind of why that's important, but it's complicated maths. Okay, but that's kind of normal. Like, we didn't come here to talk about normal rockets. What if we don't have a launch pad? This thing was a 1962 rocket that was planned called Sea Dragon. The idea was, well, actually, the little bit on the front right-hand end is an Apollo capsule from what they threw on a Saturn V. The idea was you get a shipbuilder to make this thing out of, you know, plate steel rather than fancy aerospace-grade stuff, and it's a lot cheaper. Then you float this 150-meter-long thing out into the ocean. You flood the ballast tanks on the other end. It starts pointing towards space, and then you light it, and hopefully it gets all the way there. I never found out if the astronauts were supposed to get in it before they tilted it upright or not. I kind of hope they were, just because it would be fun. They never actually built one of these things. They made a few small-scale test ones, but yeah, in space travel, there's a giant difference between paper and space. It's a diagram. Yes, this early in the talk. Let's try something else. What if we make the first stage not a rocket? This missile-looking thing on the wing of the 747 is a rocket designed to, go in theory, go into space, not to the ground. This one is called Virgin Orbit. They tried to launch one out of a spaceport in Newquay in Cornwall. It ended up in the Atlantic. It's a bit of a sore subject. Find me in the bar later. The basic idea was you lift the rocket through the worst of the atmosphere with the plane. You know, we know how to use planes. They're common as muck. You get it moving roughly the right direction and outside of the thickest bits of the atmosphere, so you need a lot less fuel. The problem is the rocket can only be as big as your plane can carry, which is why it's a fairly tiny little rocket. You know, planes can only get so big, runways, building regs, etc. What about something which needs less fuel? We have the delightfully named Rockoon, which is a similar idea, except instead of a jet aircraft, you use a balloon. Gets you even higher out of the atmosphere, but it's basically impossible to aim the thing. Weather balloons blow around in the wind, that's kind of the point. If you don't know where you're launching from, you kind of have to spend a whole bunch of fuel getting to the right angles and directions. As you can probably tell from the black and white photo, they've been trying this for quite some time. And you can also tell from the middle one that amateur rocket people quite like this. Plastic tables and suburbia in the background doesn't tend to happen on normal or larger rocket launches. The limiting factor here is the carrying capacity of the balloon, again, which is limited. Hence why there's a rocket there that someone is managing to hold, which is kind of cute. Okay, what about not dropping bits as we go? Everyone loves the idea of the sort of sci-fi space shuttle that, you know, you get in your away team and they go down to the planet and come back up again. This thing was a British concept called Skylon. The idea was that it used air from the atmosphere whilst it could. The problem is it's a liquid-fueled rocket and the air is not a liquid, so you have to turn your air into a liquid as it's traveling through the little engine bits on the side. And this thing was supposed to get up to Mach 5.5, which is not much time to cool and compress your air. So that was difficult. They did manage to get the cooler working on the ground, but then they ran out of money before they actually managed to fire anything, so unfortunate. But fairly common story in British aerospace history. Okay, something more dangerous. And more dangerous than 2,000 tons of rocket fuel in 2.5 minutes. Thankfully, we're going back to diagrams. Nuclear pulse propulsion. What's more energetic than rocket fuel? Instead of throwing fire out the back of your rocket, you drop a nuke and ride the shockwave wherever you want to go, with some padding and shock absorbers so you don't squish your crew, hopefully. This thing was from the part of the Cold War where they were trying to figure out more constructive uses for nuclear weapons, like mining and drilling for oil. The reference design was apparently capable of getting to Mars in a month and back. Bear in mind that the Curiosity rover took 8.5 months to get there one way, and they were planning to launch this thing from the Earth. So, you know, a whole bunch of nukes in the atmosphere to get themselves out first. Amazingly, the thing that stopped this thing from being ever more than paper, thankfully, was not that someone looked at it and went, "What the bleep are you thinking?" It was the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty banned the use of nukes in outer space. So they gave up. Later analysis estimated that they would have killed 10 people with the fallout from every launch. Thankfully, that never happened. And also, yes, that is a nuclear shaped charge on the as fuel. Mad. Okay. Something that's not a rocket. Space guns. All the way back to Newton and Jules Verne, people have been thinking of cannons and, you know, space guns. The military really loved the idea because BFG. Has some problems, though. You still need another rocket on your payload to turn your orbit into a circle when you get out of the atmosphere. And whatever you want to launch has to be able to be survive being shot out of one of the fastest cannons that's ever been made. You're not going to make... Also, you can't really do this with a conventional cannon. Like, conventional projectile propellants are not fast enough. Rifle bullets don't cut it here. Something more exotic, like gas guns, stage detonation systems. Things get weird. The payload also has to be able to handle rushing out of the atmosphere. The same thing that makes meteors flame when they come in happens if you just launch something very quickly back upwards. Americans managed a 16-inch gas gun that got a shell to 180 kilometers. No one's made it to orbit with one yet. some engineers that recent attempts have ended in secret agents assassinating engineers. So, yeah. There was also Spin Launch, which seems to have pivoted to making communication satellites, as half the space sector has. The idea was you stick your payload in a high-tech slingshot, which is the big circular thing, spin it around really, really fast, and then let it go so it goes whizzing out the tube. The circular bit's under vacuum, so you can spin it very quickly, but it is spinning around in a circle, which means there's G-forces on it all the time that's spinning. And you have to build your payload so that it can survive 10,000 G, which will pancake basically everything. You're not launching any kind of normal satellite on this, or humans, obviously. Something with less G-forces would be nice. We're going back to diagrams, though, unfortunately, because things are about to get theoretical. The space elevator, another sci-fi staple. You know, elevators go up. What if we made one that kept going up? Well, we run into tensile strength issues pretty quickly. But if you can make a cable strong enough that you can hang it from orbit, you can get there pretty easily and pretty gently. Like, you can just crawl up the cable as slowly as you need to, and people aren't going to get squished or crushed. It's kind of fine. But you have to be able to make a 35,000 kilometer long cable that can support its own weight and the weight of your payload and the climbing thing and everything else, and then survive like the wind and stuff in the atmosphere. The elevator has to go up to geostationary orbit at least, because otherwise the bit on the ground is moving faster than the bit in space, and then bad things happen, and you know, the cable wraps itself around the Earth or something. I think the people on the equator would rather disagree with that one. Yeah, we don't know how to make a cable that strong yet. There's some hopes of some magic carbon materials, but yeah, no one's managed to get anywhere close to what we need to make that work. You can have two on the moon, though. We have Kevlar is enough to make one on the moon. You have to have it on the side pointing towards the Earth or the other way around because of the way the moon's tidally locked to always face the same way. But we have to get there first, and I'll refer to the rest of this talk rather than be recursive. Okay. A space elevator without all the tensile strength issues, though, would be really nice. So this thing is a space fountain. Sorry, I really should have grabbed my water before I came up here. The idea is you push a stream of particles up a tube, and the stream of particles kind of supports itself as it goes round, and it supports the tube as it goes up. And then you can climb up your tube, which is great. As you can probably tell from the diagram, this one never got particularly far off the ground with the designs. The problem is if you ever turn it off, the entire thing collapses. So you can't push the particles through it, you're in trouble. Oh, thank you. And then the entire thing collapses, and this is, you know, a few thousand kilometers of cable. So that would be bad for anyone living nearby. Space fishing. If we didn't have a space elevator that we didn't have to attach to the ground or all the way up to geostationary orbit. We're going to need to explain the diagram because this is a very better than the napkin one. The idea is you have a very heavy weight somewhere in orbit and a long cable hanging from it that's spinning around it. And as it spins around, it comes down into the atmosphere. And whilst it's down in the atmosphere, you get someone to fly up to it, grab onto it, and it goes whee all the way into space. And then there they go, and they are now in orbit. The fun bit is how fast that cable will be moving, just from the fact that its other end of it is in orbit. One of the proposals required something that can get up to Mach 10 to be able to catch up with the cable, which is a ridiculously fast thing, and also, if you can get that fast, why are you just not going to orbit in the first place? Not sure. One moment. what if instead of extending our space elevator cable all the way out to geostationary orbit, we had something we could attach it to? Obviously, we want to avoid the cable wraps around the Earth problem. So we take a long cable and somehow get it into space all the way around the world, and then you spin it. And centrifugal force means that the cable gets tight and stretches itself, at which point you can use that to support the weight at the end of your cable. And if you run a train the other way around your cable, fast enough that it stays in the same space point over the Earth as your cable runs around underneath it, you can then hang your elevator cable from it. There's several problems with this plan, obviously. First, you've got to get your cable into orbit. I'm not entirely sure how you'd ever manage to do that and get it to be a circle properly. You can't just like feed the cable out the back of your spaceship as you orbit, because then it's not in the same orbit as you because it's going slower. You also can't ever stop the train, because the cable then either rips out the bottom or pulls the other cable into the ground. This one in theory works, but how the hell do you build it is the tricky bit. And then we have the launch loop. It's kind of a horizontal space fountain. So instead of a stream of particles, you have a moving belt that's kind of trying to follow a ballistic path. But you put it in a tube that's magnetically levitated from the belt itself. And with some stays and cables and things, you can kind of get this belt to float in space. And then you can just, you know, drive your payload up into orbit or up to at the edge of space, if this thing was designed to be 80 kilometers high, so way outside of most of the atmosphere. And you run along your cable, which is 2,000 kilometers long, and get enough speed to achieve orbit, which is nice. Again, this is another one you can't turn off because the cable falls out the sky. At least the proposal for this one did suggest putting parachutes on the train track so that if it does fall out the sky, it's not falling out the sky particularly fast. Also, they did suggest putting it over water so that, you know, it doesn't land on people, which is nice of them for once. So, in conclusion, if you want to go to space, good luck. Try and come up with something that's actually possible to build, tolerant of failures, and doesn't end the world. Or just use a rocket. Thank you.